Just a joy to be with you this morning. We have appreciated your fellowship and your encouragement, and we will think of you all as we go back and then look forward to the pastor and Sharon coming over to minister. And we thank you for sending them, and the Lord has been good, and it's been a good furlough year for us. If you will turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians, and stand with me as we read from chapter 5, verses 14 through 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 21. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you, in Christ said, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. Be seated, please. When we first got to the Philippines, we were looking for a way to say hello in our tribal dialect. We found out we couldn't say often here, we'll shake hands and say, how are you? We found out if we did that in the Philippines, that is out in the mountains, people would say, do I look sick? And so we knew that wasn't a good way to greet people. And finally we noticed that as people came along and saw one another face to face, they'd say, Oi, bagay bagay, amay sarong mo. Say, friend, where are you going? You know, that's a good question to ask, because all of us are going somewhere. And none of us are going to end up where we are now. And the scripture reminds us that there's a choice to be made so far as eternity is concerned. And in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, we read, enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad there is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go therein at, because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be who find it. Scripture says there are a lot of people who think they know the way. But that's the way that seems right to man. And the end of that way is death. I can remember in the early days of Palawan, I used to go to the village of a friend of mine, Bayande, who was one of the first believers. And every once in a while, his son would come for me and take me to their village, which was only about 4 hours from our village. And so one day during the week, Bayundi's son said to me, can you come this weekend? And I said, all right. He said, I'll come and get you. I said, oh, you don't have to do that. I said, I've been there many times. I know the way. And so I'll come by myself. Now, if you had come into our village around that time looking for Bayundi's village, people would have said to you, go see Brother Dan. He's going there and he knows the way. And so Friday morning, bright and early, after I had a good breakfast, I started out for Bayonde's house, along the trail that I've gone many times, along a way that I knew real well. I would tell you I knew the way. But you know, after about 3 hours, things were looking kind of strange. And I should have begun to see houses near that village where there were believers, and there weren't any. Pretty soon I realized I was lost. I was sure I knew the way. I am thankful this morning that I knew how to get home, even though I didn't know where I was going. Okay. Now, there are a lot of people in this world today who think they know the way to heaven. The scripture says it's not the way. That broad way will never get us there. And scripture says in Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Okay. The reasonable way isn't the way that works. Trying to be our best isn't the way that works. Going to church every Sunday morning isn't the way that works. And the scripture tells us that that narrow way that not many people in this world find because it doesn't seem reasonable to them is Jesus Christ. In John 14:6, the Lord tells us that Jesus Christ is the narrow way. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And of course, most of us know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him has eternal life. The way to heaven, the way to have a relationship with God, is a very simple way, placing our faith in Jesus Christ. There isn't any other way, and all the rest of the ways will get us lost and lead to eternal damnation. Now, I'm happy as I stand here that and look out on the audience, almost all of you I know, and I know you've already made that decision, but you know, we're still going somewhere. The portion that we read, 2 Corinthians 5:14-15, says God's love compels us to realize that he died for all men because all men were lost. And therefore, those of us who know the Lord as our Savior are bound by our love for God to share this message with everybody we can. And so you and I, as believers, need to decide what we're going to do with our life. I've been so blessed by the testimony of Grace Baptist Church and the concern that you've all had for the lost and for missions and for Madisonville. But you know, Satan is always prowling about, getting us not to keep doing what we've been doing, even though we know it's right and it's the way of blessing. And as I look through the scripture, I found a number of different ways that Satan can get us tied up doing things that would keep us from giving all that we are to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that first group of people that we find in the scripture, we read about them in Acts chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. Acts chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. I call these people the gazers, the ones who look. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Now, what those men were doing is what I think you and I would both have been doing in that situation. You remember what happened? Jesus was with them. These men had walked with the Lord, they'd heard him teach, they'd seen him perform miracles, they'd gotten discouraged and sort of not followed very well during the time when the Lord was crucified. And then when he rose again, their life was revived, and they were thrilled to be with the Lord. And now the Lord was teaching them. And just before this event, the Lord said to them, stay here until the Holy Spirit's come, and you'll have power to preach the gospel everywhere. And while he was telling them these things, a cloud came, and Jesus went up. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd have been looking up. There he goes. Oh, look at that. It's amazing. And after a while, the Lord was gone, but I'd still be looking there. And that's what these men were doing, standing there probably with their mouths open, gazing at this amazing sight. And these two men in white apparel said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing? Not because it was strange that they were gazing at what they saw, but because what? This same Jesus will be coming back just the way you saw him go.
Amen.
All right? And down in the valleys of this world are millions of people who don't know the story of Jesus and his love. There isn't time for you just to stand and gaze. And you know, sometimes as Christians, I'll tell you, it's so good to be able to come here and fellowship with you all, and I've gotten to know you, and we talk with one another, and isn't that wonderful? And it would be great just to do that. But you know, the Lord just has more for us than that. And if that's all that we do, then we're gazers. We're enjoying our salvation, and we're forgetting that Jesus is coming back. And there are many who cannot enjoy salvation like you and I do. I've told some of you the story of Bayonde when I was at his house one day. And Palawanos live in a non-time-oriented society. They didn't have a word for weeks or anything. They had a word for month when the moon changed. And they didn't know how to count years. Nobody knew how old they were. And they would ask me, how long has it been since Jesus died on the cross? They were sure it just happened. And I had seen it and rushed with my family there to tell them. And I would say, well, no, you see, it's been nearly 2,000 years. And they would say, oh, my brother, you mean 2 years? I say, no, nearly 2,000. You don't mean 20? You don't mean 200? No, 2,000 years. And I was sitting with my friend Bayonde, who had a great wisdom from the Lord, although he couldn't read yet. And I thought, what am I going to tell him when he asks, what's taking you so long? But you know what he said? He said, I know why it's taken so long to get here. Nobody wants to leave the joy of Christian fellowship in a wonderful place like America and come to a place like this. That's why. That's why 2,000 years after Jesus died, there are still people who've never heard about him. You know, not just in the Philippines, not just over in Azerbaijan, but right here in Madisonville, Kentucky. So let's you and I be careful, that we don't become gazers. It's all right to enjoy Christian fellowship and enjoy all the Lord's given us, but we need to constantly be reminded that there are so many who don't know. And if you and I don't tell them, nobody else will. There's another group of people that you find in the Scripture that Satan's been able to get not to do what they ought to do. And I call them the occupied, the ones who are so busy, you know. And we read about them in Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, starting with verse 18. And when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. Now Jesus gave this commandment to the believers, to the disciples who were right around him. You notice now, he didn't ask them to go to China. He didn't ask them to go to some far off place. He just said, listen, depart with me to the other side. And the Lord often comes to us and says, now listen, I need you to do something for me, which will require you changing your schedule just a little bit. See? Just to the other side. And there was a man in verse 21 of Matthew 8 that we read about. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me and let the dead bury the dead. I used to think that was kind of unkind, but the Lord's never unkind. And then I learned that the expression bury my father meant to take care of my father's business. This man had a business. His father had died and left it to him. And he had to take care of business. He had to make sure everything was running well. And he was saying to the Lord, listen, Lord, I'll go with you over there to the other side, but first, I have worldly things to take care of. After a while, Lord, but first. And how often does the Lord come to us whether we're missionaries or pastors or earning a living out in the world, but comes to us as Christians and says, now, you know, I want you to do this. And we think, well, I will, Lord. Let me look at my schedule. I will, Lord, but it doesn't fit in right here. And in effect, that's what this man was saying. I'll go, Lord, but you see, not just now. Let me take care of my earthly chores, and then I'll be able to go. Maybe this morning some of us have found that our earthly chores have taken a bigger part in our life than they really ought to. And we should be able to say, yes, Lord, I'll serve you right now. Okay, right now. Then there's another group of people that same thing you get hold of. And so first there are the gazers. They enjoy their salvation and don't think to tell anybody else. And then there are the Christians who are so occupied with everyday life that they don't have time to do what God wants them to do. And then there are the reasoners. They want to be sure of every eventuality. Everything is taken care of before they do anything new for the Lord. You know, almost every time I come into the church here and I look around and I realize the church isn't full, and I think to myself, you know, if we had here all the young men who've gone out in the ministry from the church and their families and those they would bring in, and the missionaries who have gone out from the church and their families and all they'd bring in, we'd have to build a bigger building. And people say, boy, look, you know, Grace Baptist Church, it's really doing things. But then we pause and look at those who are not here because they're out serving the Lord, and think of the thousands that have been won to Christ, the churches that have been founded, people who have been brought from death to life. You see, that's what God wants us to do. And if we're reasoners, we don't really want to do that. If we look in the book of Acts, chapter 13, at the first two verses tell us about a little church in Antioch. That wasn't a very big church, I'm sure. They probably didn't even have a building of their own. And they were meeting together and studying the Scripture. And the Scripture says, as they prayed, the Holy Spirit, in verse 2, said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And so verse 3 says the church did it. The church sent them away. I wonder if there weren't some people in that church who said, you know, we really can't afford to send our best teachers. You know, we may be able to send somebody else, but we can't send these men. We need them here. But you see, they didn't. And I wonder if perhaps secretly in the hearts of some, as you come into the church and you think, boy, if we had them all back, you know, we better not send any more. You see. But we are a church like Antioch. We are a sending church. That's why the Lord put us here. Not to see how big a building we could build. Not to get bigger than the other fellow down the street, but to share the gospel. It may not seem reasonable, but it wasn't reasonable that God would send His Son to die for us. And I always think of Palau, and those of you who saw the PowerPoint and saw those first three men who heard the gospel story, never wore a pair of shoes, couldn't read or write, never held the Scripture, were totally unqualified. It wasn't reasonable that they would be missionaries. And yet they led their people in their village to the Lord and led at least 30 other villages, great numbers of people, to the Lord. It's not reasonable. See? But the whole premise of the gospel isn't reasonable. That God loved us so much, He sent His own Son to take your sins and mine and bear them on Calvary. So the Lord asks us this morning to do things for Him that may not seem reasonable. And you know, because that church in Antioch sent Paul out, then sometime later in Acts 16, we won't take time to read it, he heard the Macedonian call. He would have never heard that call, come over and help us, if that little church hadn't sent out one of their very best teachers. And we can thank God this morning that as a church, He's given us the privilege to send men and women out to the mission field. Right from our own midst. Those who have grown up amongst us. Those who might have filled our pews. And God bless us. We're looking forward to the pastor and Sharon coming over in the next year. And we're trusting, we know he will be a blessing to us. And we trust he'll be blessed as he sees the men and women who have come to Christ, because churches in America, churches like this one, cared enough to send missionaries out. It's been a great thrill to me to see. I just got a questionnaire from a church that, what was your greatest blessing this year? And I think they didn't want me to write a book, so I just picked out one of them. I said, perhaps one of the greatest blessings was to see students of my former students now teaching in the Bible school and pastoring local churches. Second generation of Christians. See? Because long ago, we went to the Philippines. And we couldn't have gone and we couldn't have stayed if churches hadn't cared. You see? And so, we don't want to be reasoners, do we? We're thankful that God didn't reason in the human way. That God didn't say, look at those miserable people who are my enemies, who do everything wrong. Why should I send my beloved son? But he did. And so now he asks us to do things that aren't reasonable. He doesn't want us to be gazers. He doesn't want us to be occupied. He doesn't want us to be reasoners. He just wants us to lay our lives before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm yours. Use me however you want, and I'll praise you for it. And then, while it's sad to be a gazer, or to be occupied, or be a reasoner, there's another group that's just the saddest group in all the Scripture. And I call them the quitters. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. For Demas hath forsaken me. You know, that's an interesting phrase. Demas has forsaken me. He just left. He'd been with Paul, seen the wonderful things the Lord could do with the sharing of the gospel, experienced the blessings of serving the Lord, and then he quit. Right in the midst of it all, he quit. And you know something that's interesting? I don't think he went into false doctrine. Probably didn't stop attending church. The Scripture says, having loved this present world. You know, I think he just looked out and he thought, wow, look at all the things other people have that I don't have because I'm following Paul around. I could just go home and serve the Lord around my home place. I go home and get a good job and still witness. It's all right to do that, but that's not what Demas was called to do. We often hang little plaques in our house. God is the head of this home. And I think sometimes we ought to have one that says, beware of the pleasures of this world. Because that's what happened to Demas. He just looked out. And that's what he did. And remember, if we go back to our formal passage, Jesus said, go over to the other side. And there was one fellow there. He sounded, the one man said, I have to bury my father. I have to take care of my father's business. But there was one man, he said, oh, Lord, I'm with you. I'll go wherever you go. And then the Lord looked at him and said, birds have nests. Foxes have holes, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. What was he telling this man who was all excited about following him? You're going to be different. You see? Birds are all the same. If you knew about birds, know about birds, which I don't, you could look at a nest in the tree and you would say, that's a robin's nest, because all the robins make the same kind of nest. And at a certain time of the year, the robins can look at one another and all doing the same thing. They're making the same kind of nest. You know, at a certain time of the year, foxes dig burrows to have their young. They all do that. You know, people are kind of like that. Certain time of the year, we get out and cut our grass. Right now, everybody's raking leaves. Everybody has a house. Everybody does that. There are certain things that everybody does. And Jesus was saying to this man, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but I don't have a home that's my own. In other words, if you follow me, you're going to be different than the other people in this world. You won't be able to look at the unbelieving people and decide what you're going to do. You're going to have to look at me, because I'm different. And I'm wondering if this fellow, who wanted to joyfully proclaim he would follow the Lord, maybe he began to have second thoughts, huh? Who wants to be different? It's human nature to want to be the same. But remember our scripture portion, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. And old things have passed away. All those things that human beings might want to do, some of those we might not have time for, because the Lord is calling us to serve Him. And if we long to be like everybody else, like Demas, we'd quit and go home, having loved this present world. And then there's another group, quickly in closing, the doers. We all want to be part of this group, those who do things for the Lord, those that the church can count on, those that the Lord can count on. And in James chapter 1, verse 22, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. Not just when we hear the word preached on Sunday morning, but when we read the words in our private meditation and the Lord speaks to us, we don't want to just hear them and say, yes, I believe that. But we want to hear them and act on them. This same portion of Scripture says, if you're a hearer and not a doer, you're like somebody who looks in the mirror and then forgets what they look like. When I got up this morning, my hair was going every which way. I could have looked in the mirror and just come out this way, and then you'd have had to say extra prayer for me because I was in trouble. You know, we all looked in the mirror this morning and we rearranged things the best we could with what God happened to have given us. When we read the Scripture, we're supposed to rearrange things too. The Lord wants us to be doers. He wants each day as we read the Scripture to be able to do something with our life that makes us just a little more like Jesus. Wouldn't it be wonderful if every day when we went to work or to the market or wherever it is that we go, people would look at us and say, that person's different. That person's different. It's getting near Christmas when we're supposed to remember the birth of our Lord. And I think sometimes when it gets near Christmas, people get less Christian. You have to be careful if you go shopping. Somebody may run you over with their cart because they're in a hurry, you know. People actually get impatient. I read in the newspaper some years ago there was some kind of doll out and people were fighting over it at Christmas time. Wouldn't it be wonderful if when we went to the market and did the busy things that happened, we always had a smile on our face and a pleasant thing to say to everyone we meet? Because there are many people in this world that have no one who cares about them. And if we care, we'll be different. And they'll want to know why. That we can tell them about Jesus. Let's not be gazers. Let's not be occupied. Let's not be reasoners. Let's not be quitters, but let's be doers of the word. God has blessed Grace Baptist Church in some amazing ways. And He will continue to do this if we will all continue to give the best that we have for Him. May God bless us this morning and challenge our hearts. Pastor.
Let's stand together this morning if you would.